for Under the Hood with Fred Fletcher from Fletcher's Garage. If you have any questions about your car, truck, or SUV, from tune-ups to tires, give Fred a call at 215-949-3232. And now it's time to go Under the Hood with Fred Fletcher.
America's mechanic who's got the air conditioning. He keeps his cool even in the hottest of days.
I won't go that far, but I'll do what I can.
You do what you can, yeah. It's funny how the priorities change, right, Fred? Now yeah. It's not this, but whether
it's
driving.
Not wipers, it's still should be wipers, but only on Saturdays.
Yeah, that's right.
which we'll talk about Need for Speed.
Yeah.
But I expect a few phone calls today about air conditioning. It's been pretty calm so far this year.
Calm before the storm, yeah.
But these 90 degree days are going to.
Yeah, you're going to.
Bringing it out.
So every once in a while, you like one of those.
The other day, I was wearing a jacket.
Me too. Today it came in, it wasn't that bad. All of a sudden, it just goes from 60 to 72 in a matter of minutes.
Yeah, I thought about working outside when I went home, but I'm like, it's too humid.
Yeah.
Getting too old for this stuff.
Yeah, you know what, though? And as you get older, you have less tolerance for it, too. I mean, I worked all day and nothing happened. And have a couple of,
a
little bit of water.
Because I used to, work all day, all night in my house, and be like, go home and, install a sink or whatever.
Yeah.
Now it's like, I don't even want to, put the dishes in the dishwasher.
I'm with you on that. Yeah, and it didn't get dark till almost 10 and 9 last night. I mean, that's even better.
I wouldn't know. I was asleep by then.
You were gone? Wow. Man,
I get up at 4:30, so.
Yeah, you're an early riser as well. So you also need that private time, too, where nobody calling, nobody bothering you. You have to have that kind of
space.
Yes,
that's why I turn my phone off when I go home.
Mm-hmm.
And because a lot of people think I'm a doctor.
Yes.
And I'm on call all night. And I do get emails. And I see that people called me when I turned my phone on in the morning at 1:30 in the morning, 2 o'clock.
Yeah.
Maybe they were on their way to work and they thought of something or something happened. Well, I'm not answering. I'm sorry.
Well, they want to be first in line.
I'm there for 10 to 12 hours a day. I'm like, please give me a break.
Yeah, give us a call then. Okay, you've got all the time in the world now. 215.
Yeah, you can give us a call here.
Yeah, 949-3232. Go and give us a call.
People do call here looking for me.
They do. Yeah. Yeah, it's nice to be wanted. It's nice to be wanted.
It takes on a different meaning as you get older.
Yes, it does. It is hard. Then it's harder to get lost later on. And sometimes you need one of those kind of days, too.
Yeah. But anyways, we're expecting some air conditioned calls. That's okay. Bring a normal schedule in. We're actually booked up until next Thursday.
Yeah.
So hopefully you're not going to bake between now and then.
Yeah.
And but we got all kinds of services. Inspections are still booming, and we're just cranking along. But we're just about a week.
You know what?
A week booked out.
Lately, the last couple of weeks, you come in here. It's almost like you're a college professor. You got a pile of papers that high.
Mm-hmm.
Either it's recalls or some kind of repairs that are coming down the pike. But a lot of recalls on a lot of cars and a lot of mess ups here, huh?
One came out the other day. I'm going to try to remember because I didn't print it out or write it down. That's I know the GM 6.2 engines are having a catastrophic problem. They're exploding internally. And people don't realize there's a little tiny, it's called a keyway, Woodruff key in the wood world. But it goes into the end of the crankshaft and it locks the crankshaft pulley on. And for some reason, GM made this one look like a dot.
Yeah.
It's so small. It's 3/16 of an inch round.
Yeah.
So, and these 6.2 diesels put out a lot of horsepower, so they get pounded on a lot.
So
they, you get any kind of back pressure or something, it starts hammering away at that little keyway, and then they disintegrate, and then it spins the engine and it ruins the engine. So Chrysler's got a big deal going on there. Still having the Hyundai 2.4 issues. I sent two of them over to the dealerships this week. They're covering them up to 120,000 miles. They covered both of them. One had 96,000 on, and one had 55,000 on. And I came in, AAA tow in,
mm-hmm.
and I told the customer, this is covered. The one customer said, no, it's got almost 100,000. I said, they're coming to 120,000. 10 years, 120,000. Take it over there.
That's right.
So,
run the numbers.
They had them towed over there. Yeah. I have, you know, I could do it, but, you know, I don't feel the need to charge the customer for that. So,
yeah.
You know, anytime you can steer the customer to that kind of work, go ahead.
It also helps it, you know, the dealerships, whatever, you know.
Yeah, keep, as long as the dealerships are doing what they're supposed to do, and sometimes they're hit or miss. But I think with the Hyundais, they pretty much cried uncle and they're not fighting it. They're just doing it, and which is good, is good.
I assume there's probably a window there where they are a little skeptical about something or other, and then they get more facts, and pretty soon, guess what? This is legitimate, so you better get on it.
I will say, with the Hyundai engine problems, if you're going to go over there and attempt to get your vehicle covered for that, you better have your oil change and maintenance records in order, because they look for any kind of loophole. And yeah, and whether I consider it right or wrong, I keep all my maintenance records. It's easy for me on my database. But, you know, if you make a folder and I do your work for you, whether I do your oil changes, you do your oil changes, make a note, throw it in the folder, even a handwritten note saying, I changed my own oil in my driveway on June 6, 1922, or 2022.
Yeah.
You know, and that's good enough. That's good enough. So
you always have the mileage marker up there for the next. I look up. Now I don't have to look for it.
Yeah, that's for the future. But you keep your past records, and you have a leg to stand on when you go for a warranty.
Yeah, and you had repairs and everything done. Yeah, I used to just, but now you sort of keep a few to keep a record.
Yeah,
you really do. Or it does actually help out if you're, you know, if you do keep stuff, and that way it can refresh memory as well. Like, oh, we did this. Right. Oh, yeah, right. Okay. And you can just move right in.
I had a customer this morning come in and said, I heard him telling Kelly, I just had this coil put in, an ignition coil put in pretty recently, and it's bad. And my engine's, you know, running poorly.
Yeah.
So I'm in my office, and I heard him say that, and so I rigged them. He has six coils. Six coils. We changed one over 3 years ago. So I'm like, sorry, sir, you are out of warranty.
Luck. Yeah.
You're out of warranty after 2 years. But I wouldn't have the stones to go and tell people.
There's like a certain tolerance level that you have to deal
with.
And
I'm not trying to complain and be a whiner and bitcher like I have in the last few weeks, but this is the kind of stuff. And I get it. People are running out of money.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah.
But yesterday I just had a plumber out, and I had a busted pipe. And he put the pipe in like 5 years ago. I'm not going to say, hey, you put this pipe in 5 years ago. How come it's not covered under warranty?
Yeah, and everything kind of happens in threes, too, where you sort of ignore one, and then all of a sudden the next thing comes up, and then bingo.
Don't ignore them, and then you don't have to worry about it.
There you go.
Don't ignore them, and you only have one.
Yeah.
So,
we have problems here? Okay, we're good. All right. Yeah.
You'll need new headsets, Matt.
Yeah.
This one's fuzzy in my ear. It's covered under warranty?
That's another one there. The microphones, Well, things get a little nutty today, once in a while.
I get it. People are running out of money, and I look to save money wherever I can, too, but I'm not going to insult my people doing stuff.
Yeah.
And I knew for a fact that this customer knew that it was done 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And So I went out and I explained it to him, and I said, he goes, I thought you changed them all. I said, no, we only changed them one.
Right.
And I said, you have five more in there. I said, if it turns out to be the one that we changed, I will try to submit it and get it covered, but I'm going to tell you now, they're going to kick it back on me. So, but I don't want to insult him either, but
yeah,
I don't want to play his game either.
It's a very, very... Very diplomatic.
I have to be diplomatic all the time. It's okay. It's almost getting par for the course. I'm starting to get numb. But then you got the other customers. I had a customer come in last week. She had an intermittent electric draw. Sometimes it would take 3 weeks. Sometimes it would take 3 days. Sometimes it would be overnight. So we kept the car for probably about 2 weeks. And I don't like to keep customers' cars that long, but in this case, being of such an erratic, parasitic draw, we had to keep it so to accurately diagnose it. So we, you know, we did our initial test. We saw a couple things. What was happening was body control module to the security system would go into a sleep mode. And then, I mean, these are things we have to think about now, Jim. So sometimes it should go into a sleep mode where after like 30 seconds, 45 seconds, the car just totally loses power.
Like
when you get out of your car sometimes and you'll see the lights are still bright when you first get out of the car and then they slowly dim.
Oh, yeah.
It's called sleep mode when they get into, when they totally shut off.
Some of my listeners have that problem.
Falling asleep now.
That's right. You're waiting for you're walking, and finally it goes out. And you can almost time it with your head. But
yeah, in this case, this car sometimes would not go into sleep mode and stay on and draw the battery. Yeah. So we disconnected the powertrain control module, solved that problem, found it was in the module, and she was very, very appreciative of it. And she was very happy and gave us good accolades, and my tech got a tip.
Yeah.
So it's
good.
Those good customers are, you know. Yeah. So there's good and bad.
Going to the days where you pull in and you turn the key off and it's still going. You know, back remember those days.
Pre-ignitions, it was called dieseling or pre-ignition. You don't see that anymore.
62 Rambler Ambassador.
Well, that was mostly caused by carburetor or timing. But, sometimes if your timing chain was a little, little wonky, it would do that. But most of the time it was a carburetor, not...
Walk away and pretend it's not yours.
No.
Okay.
Well, a lot of times with that dieseling, it would backfire and crack a piston or something like that. Burn a bearing.
A V8 engine in there.
Yeah. It's usually the carburetor was the culprit on that one.
Engine too big for the car.
Sometimes I had customers say I shut it off in gear so it doesn't pre-ignition. That's fine, but you're gonna break the pump or your torque converter in your transmission. So
customer gaffes, that could be
the problem. Yeah, you don't have a problem.
That'd be a great show to have customer gaffes.
Now with the driver advent gaffe of YouTube, there's all kinds because there's so much bad information on YouTube.
Oh God.
Yeah, because sometimes if I have like that parasitic draw and I'm on different legitimate chat lines. Yeah. But sometimes to get there, you cruise on YouTube, and you see some of the... I'm like, what the heck are they thinking?
I don't know. You should probably install a YouTube, lane. You know, those who watch YouTube and that kind of...
We do have a sticker under the YouTube Master Auto Technician.
Yes. So, you're way ahead of everybody with that, with YouTube and the fix-it. And somebody wants to beat the system.
I mean,
time,
I do,
you know?
YouTube, too, but more of a descriptive thing. Not.
Well,
you do
a show.
Yeah, and I'm not out there to just tell people what they should or shouldn't do with their... With certain problems with their cars.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I see some of these guys and... It's like, I don't know how you're a mechanic, but okay. I made a couple of lists today. I didn't print them all out.
Okay.
Because I wasn't sure what we were going to talk about since I had put my Facebook post about installing
prep we put into everything.
Yeah. Since I put out on Facebook, I was going to install a protester catcher.
Yes.
snow in the winter, protesters in the summer.
I saw that. It's all right. Yeah, that's right. That's right.
That's a whole other conversation.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Be prepared. Put a snow plow in the front of your car.
There you go.
Protester plow. Okay. I made two lists. One is the 20 lame cars that some people actually considered cool. And none of these, maybe one of these, I would say it's cool. There's 20 cars here. We'll go through them one by one, and I'll tell you what I think about them, what I know about them. Number one, the Pontiac Aztec, which was is probably mid-2000s. It was a little kind of like camping vehicle, had a tent on the back of it. Mm. Not cool, ugly, big plastic cladding all the way around it. Nobody really liked them. If you ever saw Breaking Bad, he had that car. That's the only thing that made it half-ass cool.
It's the Walter White mobile.
That's the only thing that was half-ass cool about that. Yeah. But I remember I was up at Peruzzi Pontiac when they were Pontiac at the time. And I was talking to the sales guy, and he goes, you know, they, across the country, they sold two Aztecs in year 2012.
Two
across the whole country.
That was what the 22 was all about.
Goes, so they, I don't know what happened to them. They just sent them back, I guess. I don't know. Number two, the AMC Pacer. A lot of people like them. I'm on the fence with them. I know they were rust buckets and a whole lot of glass. Mm-hmm. They were considered the fishbowl. This is actually... I don't know if I'd call it cool, but it's actually a very good car, the Honda Element. A lot of my customers that have them, actually all my customers that have a Honda Element, love them. And I have a couple that have got like 400,000 miles out of their Honda Elements. They take care of them. But they look like little boxes. The Subaru Baja is number four. And that's a little pickup truck with a Subaru engine. They kind of look like a Legacy with the or an Outback without the station wagon part. Looks like a little pickup truck. They were rust buckets too.
In
the late 70s.
Yeah, cancer there.
Number five. This is for Nick Leach. The PT Loser.
Loser.
The PT Cruiser was actually.
I like the names better now. Yeah. The Loser instead of the Cruiser.
Yeah.
I love that.
I have some customers that really like them. And when they came out, they were like the precursor of the retro-looking type car, you know.
Yeah.
So the initial trend was good for sales. But the engines themselves, they were just beat. I had one in the other day. I still have quite a few customers with PT Losers.
Remember the AMC... you know, pacemakers, we have
those. That's the Pacer. That was number two.
The pacemaker, yeah. There you go.
The Ford Flex is number six. That's a big station wagon.
With a wood on them, on the side?
They look like wood. Fake wood on the
fake
side.
Fake wood on the side, yeah.
Yep. Craig had one. Craig McGill from Five Peaks Media. He had one. He loved it. He went all over the place. That's the only one that I know went all over the place. Yeah. Usually they were in the shop. They had bad engines in those as well.
Yeah.
Seven is the Geo Metro, little tiny car, probably late 90s. It was all by itself, too, so I can't even compare it to something.
Yeah.
Geo Metro, little tiny car. Suzuki X90, I never even really thought of them. It's a two-door, little tiny Suzuki.
Yeah.
I don't even see them around here anymore. I don't think they're cool, but... again, these are lame cars that some people thought they were cool.
Yeah.
This car, Saturn SC2, it's a coupe, but it had a dual, the reason why it was called a Super Coupe SC.
Yeah.
It's an oxymoron. Yeah. And
the coupe can be changed
to
crap, probably.
The coupe car was because it had dual overhead cam as opposed to the regular one had a single.
Saturns were hot there for about a minute
a good
and a half.
Car. Saturns were a good car. They got, and I'm not even going to say they got railroaded, but they... They GM discontinued making them because they said sales were flagging. But they were actually a good, dependable car.
Yeah.
I have a few of them, you know, still come in. The VW Thing, that was back in the 70s.
I remember that.
Yeah. You don't remember that? It looked like a Jeep. It was a Thing.
A Thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was a hunk of metal. It looked like a... It was.
I had a
crazy.
71.
They were rust buckets.
VW Bug. 71 VW Bug, yeah.
Yeah, this is the Thing. This looks like an Army Jeep and it was all square, boxy.
Yeah.
It was probably like mid 70s, 74, 75. Yeah. They rusted like crazy. I remember my dad, a customer brought one in for us to do body work on, and my dad's like, no way. We just had enough. We don't have enough metal in the world.
Yeah, the Pacer was bad because it looked like a light switch going down the highway.
The Cube, Nissan Cube. That's a little ugly car. That was lame. HHR is kind of looked like a PT Loser.
Yeah.
But it was made by GM. A little bit bigger.
Love that.
And they were okay. Yeah. They were okay. A little hard to work on. But okay, they were very tight. How the this is considered lame car on both sides, Pinto.
Wow. Well, for lawyers,
the Pinto.
Yeah.
They actually thought it was cool.
The rear gas tank.
Mm-hmm.
And
didn't put a bladder in a gas tank. That was the problem.
Yeah, and the favorite was it was the license plate was not a number; it just said Kaboom on the back. Yeah. I remember the that stays in everybody's mind. The Pinto.
But it was actually, if you take that away from it, it was a good car.
It was.
It had a nice engine in it. I think it was a 1.8 liter. They weren't a bad car, and the Mercury Bobcat was its clone.
Was the Ford Maverick in there somewhere?
Not on this list.
No.
Maverick was actually kind of a cool car. The Yugo, self-explanatory, is made in Yugoslavia, so it's already automatically garbage. And I have a story about that, which I've told before, and I'm not going to repeat now, so that makes me hate Yugos. Uh-huh. Mitsubishi Mirage. I still have a couple customers with these things. They're a nightmare to work on.
Too, huh?
Overall, Mitsubishis are pretty good.
Yeah.
The Mirage was not, and they're a pain in the butt to work on, and they're very hard to get parts for nowadays.
Pure Mirage. They just left.
Yeah, they just evaporated.
Disappeared.
You got there, and it was gone. The Toyota Previa. It's a little wagon. Minivan.
Yeah.
And the precursor to that was, I can't remember, it's kind of like a Sedona, but...
Had a Celica,
they still make
Sedonas.
Far as a minivan.
A minivan, okay.
My uncle had one. We used to call it a terrorist car bomb.
Yeah.
Because it looked like one. And the Buick Riata, which was actually a pretty nice car, a little
Buick.
Sporty two-door, some were convertible, hardtop convertibles.
Yeah.
They had a pretty good engine, and I think most of them had a 3.8 in them.
Buick.
The Toyota, it's a Scion, but it's basically a Toyota. I don't consider them lame. They were pretty good cars, pretty reliable. They might not have been the best looking car, but it was another box.
Yeah.
You got the Renault LeCar, which was...
The Renault. There you go.
It's French.
Yeah.
It's bad. That's all needs to be said.
The Renault. I had one of those, a LeCar. It ran on regular gas. That was the beauty.
It ran?
It ran on regular gas.
You mean it actually ran?
I think somebody did me a favor. They blindsided me, hit me in the driver's side. And then
the only Renaults I ever saw. I saw somebody when I was in the Air Force, somebody had one, and they complained about it all the time. The only other times I've ever seen a Renault come through my shop was when we towed them in when they were abandoned in Trenton.
Yeah.
And then we were the holding pattern before we took it to the junkyard.
Yeah, I used to get out of there and say, what is a guy 6'3" doing in that car? You're wasting your time. Yeah. And a backache. Yeah. You know, and they were right. Yeah. But it was cheap.
Yeah, pretty much. I'll stand by this. If it's French, it's bad. And that's for you too, Mike Russo, with your Citroën.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Sacre bleu.
Yeah. Mm. The Dodge Rampage is a pickup truck, which is actually not a bad vehicle. But it actually wasn't a bad-looking vehicle. But I didn't see too many of those. They look like little Shelby Chargers with a bed on them. So.
Yeah.
And that's about it on the lame cars. I'll throw in there.
The Lamos. Yep.
This was considered a lame car, but for some reasons they were true. But I really liked them, the Chevy Vega. They had a problem with it was an aluminum head on a cast iron block.
Yeah.
And the temperature differentiality used to go, aluminum runs cooler than the steel when it gets combustion. And it would warp head gaskets like crazy. That was, just bad. Bad design for that. But if you figured out your way around them, you were okay.
The Chevy Nova wasn't bad.
It was ahead of its time on aerodynamics, the Chevy Vega.
It had a hatchback then back in the day. Yeah.
And if you got rid of that aluminum block and put a 283 or 327 in, you had something.
Yeah, my sister had one for a long time.
What, a Chevy Vega?
Yeah, not a Vega, a hatchback Nova, and it worked out pretty well. It hit, like you said, it hit and miss on a lot of that stuff. Yeah,
so, and it really, these were general lame cars, so it's subject to your interpretation.
Gone before their time, really, right? Before the time
Some of them hung out too long, like the PT Loser.
Yeah.
The overlooked gems, and there wasn't a whole lot of these made, and a lot of people didn't pay attention to these cars when they were made, but they should have. This is growing up in our age. Number one, and this is a gorgeous car. It's basically a Skylark, and my stepbrother had one. It was a 70 Buick GSX. And it was a badass car.
Yeah. And, I'm thinking about that. Yeah, but 1970-71 was a good year for a lot of cars.
For
those Chevelles and all that.
A lot of these are 70-71s. But the reason why it was overlooked is because of the Chevelle and the GTOs and all that stuff, which were also the A-body cars. But the GSX was actually probably the baddest one of them all.
Get 10 miles to the gallon, baby. Yeah. Back in the day.
They had a 69 American Motors AMX. That was a nice car. A lot of people, it looks like a Javelin. Basically, is a Javelin. Had a 390 in it. The Javelin was probably the only really good-looking car from American Motors.
They did a lot of great advertising. The Javelin and the guys at the light and wants to drag. He goes, "No, I got a bowl of goldfish on the seat. I can't."
But the AMX was a nice car. 70 Chrysler 300 Hurst, which was a big car.
Yeah,
big car. It came in the white and the gold, the traditional white gold.
I think my father-in-law had
Hurst used.
Had a derivation of that,
It was a really good car. It had that 397 horse I was reading this morning. I didn't even realize that. I don't think there was a whole lot of them made, but there was.
No.
I've seen one at a car show, and it's eye-catching.
Yeah, it was built for all that stuff, but now then the gas prices, of course, rocketed. Now they're looking for economics. But in the day... Yeah. You know, gas was 32 cents a gallon. Who cares? I mean, you
made $48 a week as your pay. So.
Yeah.
Everything's relative.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Everything's relative. So,
I forgot about that.
But, so that 32 cents seemed like $3. But still, it was bad mileage. And the government got involved, and that was the end of the coolness.
Yeah, that and the fuel injection, too. They kind of messed that one up, I think.
Like when
they
first came out.
Yeah.
Now it's, fuel injection is very dependable.
Yeah.
But when they first started out, they were doing derivatives of carburetors. They were taking a carburetor base and then trying to add fuel injection through the carburetor base and, kind of redesigning.
Calling Dr. Howard, Dr. Fine, Dr. Howard. That's
it's got to start somewhere, but now you got it. Now they're screwing it up again with this direct injection. That's another thing I want to touch on before I go.
All right.
But real quick, we had the 68 Mercury Cyclone. Badass had a big block in there.
There's one.
64 Fairlane Thunderbolt.
Ford Fairlane,
Had a 427. 71 Plymouth GTX. That was a nice car. Looked like a Roadrunner. The 70 Olds Rainey 300.
Olds was always
a Cutlass, basically, but it had a nice 300.
Cutlass Oldsmobile had good stuff.
This one was a little little surprising, but it's actually a cool car. It's a 63 Studebaker Avante.
Wow, how about that one? 63?
Yeah, 63. Sporty car.
Wow.
Sporty looking car. The 70 Torino.
Oh, yeah.
Nice looking car.
Yeah.
And I had a few customers with this next car. It was a 69 Pontiac GP Grand Prix SJ with the big block 455 in it.
Not bad.
It was a nice car. So that's
a good one. Yeah. So, there was a lot of good, though. And there's a lot of bombs, but a lot of hits, a lot of misses.
Well, these were all pretty good, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So
we didn't demand
the other
really
side
much.
Was the lame cars. So
the PT loser will stick with me for quite some time.
Yeah.
But, that's funny.
That's like the Mini Poopers. before we go and switch over to Need for Speed, I want to say we had two cars come in the last week and a half, 2 weeks, with the GDI, which is the direct injection. And they come in all carboned up.
It was goddamn injection.
Yeah, goddamn injection.
Yeah.
So the real way of doing the preferred way or the prescribed way, we'll put it that way, prescribed way is to take the head off and blast it with walnut shells and then knock the carbon off. Sounds ridiculous, but...
Where do you get these homemade remedies?
These are the fully designed remedies. But what we found with, there's a couple of additives you could put in the injection while we ran it.
Amazing.
And throw one in the gas tank, and we've had very good success over the last couple of weeks. It saved customers thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
It might not be, it's a good fix. Hopefully it's a long-term fix. That remains to be seen. But if it is, hey, bonus. You just saved yourself $2,500.
And that's from America's Mechanic. Are you ready to go to the fast lane, my friend?
Yeah, let's shift.
Let's